straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first, On Second Thought.
On Second Thought, episode 246, brought to you by Hook'em.com, our good friends at Bud Light. Sid Golden here with Familia, Kirk Bowles, and Brian Davis, a longtime contributor, the third Beatle, whatever you want to call him. And I know it's basketball season, fellas, but what was up with the little general making an appearance on Tuesday night when the Texas Longhorns lost to K-State? Brian Davis, what say you?
Well, it was quite shocking. I'll say that. It was definitely shocking to look over into Chris Del Conte's suite and to see little general and Del Conte giving each other COVID over there. It looked like that's as close as they were.
They should have kissed.
Practically, they practically were.
That would have been fine.
They practically were. But so I see this. I don't know what came over me. I bolted out of my seat. We have witnesses who can vouch for this. I bolted out of my seat, ran across the concourse over to section 32, went down into the stands, climbed over the seats, and yelled into the suite. I said, "Hey, is this thing done or what? Are you officially hired or what?" And he goes, "Hey, nothing's official. Nothing's official." I said, "Nothing's official. You're wearing the shirt. You're wearing the logo."
He
goes, "Well, I got to wear something."
I said, you've got plenty of purple.
You've got plenty of purple in your closet. And he just got this Cheshire Cat smile on his face. And here comes Del Conte, out of the back of the suite. Hey, nothing to see here. Nothing to say. Hey, nothing's official. Nothing's official, But look, Gary Patterson being at the Irwin Center, going public with his relationship with Chris Del Conte and wearing the logo, it's official. Texas will soon have a special assistant to Steve Sarkisian.
They really wanted to hide it. They were very subtle, very subtle. So, and I don't know if he's got purple anymore, BD. That closet may be a little thinned out.
That's true, too. That is true, too. No doubt.
So I don't know if he's going to be wearing purple much anymore. But this, to me, it's a slam dunk. He's one of the great defensive minds in all of college football. I don't think anyone would argue that. I think it was necessary, with all due respect, for Pete Kwiatkowski and his 100-ranked defense last year. They need help on that side of the ball. So it makes sense, does it not?
Oh, yeah. But my question is this. I mean, you're calling him a special assistant, and PK is bringing in $2 million a year. Is the little general going to be really running that show behind closed doors? Because if I got Gary Patterson in my building, I'm not letting PK run anything, because he ran that defense into the ground last year. Give me some little general at the chalkboard drawing up schemes on the offense that he used to dominate before things fell off in Cowtown. I think that the little general is the de facto defensive coordinator, and PK should go and give his agent a big, sloppy, wet kiss on the lips for guaranteed multi-year contracts. It's a great time to be an American. It's a great time to be an assistant coach at the University of Texas, because coaches at Texas, unlike most of the working force, when they get fired, they throw a party because they're still getting paid.
So you think Kwiatkowski is glad about this?
Well, see, okay. To me, this is the whole issue of the whole thing, right? If you're Steve Sarkisian, tell me how you're okay with this and the internal questions that it's going to create, right? Is Gary Patterson a defensive coordinator in waiting? Is he a head coach in waiting? I mean, this is not your typical defensive analyst making $25,000 a year while he waits for his next job. It's just not.
Well, he Charlie doesn't. Strong with the it's not Charlie Strong in the NFL with the Bears. Not that. Right. It's not so, that.
We know he doesn't need the money. He's rich beyond compare. He's got oil wells and truckers, and you know what. I mean, he doesn't need the money. But, you know, Gary Patterson's, what, 61 going on 41? Because he's still got that zeal, that intensity, that passion. And quite frankly, I'm shocked he doesn't want to be a head coach. And I thought maybe a place like Virginia Tech, known for his defense, would have made a lot of sense for GP. But I don't know. Maybe he just likes the being involved without the pressure. And the other thing is he wants to win a championship. He's had great success at TCU, has a statue. I assume it's still there. But he hasn't won a championship, and I think that's behind this whole deal.
So he comes to Austin to win a championship. That makes so much sense.
He wants to. I didn't say he will.
That makes zero sense.
Why would he go?
You want to win, you go be a special assistant to Dabo Swinney or a special assistant to Ryan Day or a special assistant to St. Nick. You don't come to Austin to win a championship. Vince Young doesn't have any eligibility left.
So why is he here?
Coming to Texas to get a little bit, take a deep breath, because we all agree here that he's going to coach again as a head coach. This is a nice place. He gets to stay in the South. He gets to stay in the coolest city in the state, and he's just a stone's throw away from Fort Worth. He needs to go and check on business there. It's a great opportunity, and he gets to work for a boss who loved him at Fort Worth. So I think it's a great opportunity for him. I think it's a win for Texas. If anything, that defense under PK was just atrocious, and he's bringing in just an immense amount of credibility into that building.
But how does it play? As Brian said, how does that play in the locker room and the staff meetings? If, you know, I'm Pete Kwiatkowski, and I got this guy – looking over my shoulder, making suggestions. He has Sark's ear.
Who says he's going to be making suggestions? He's going to be running. He doesn't need to be making no suggestions. He's going to come in and be the unofficial DC.
Oh, I don't think so.
You just think he's just going to be watching game film in some dark room and then show up twice a week and go, this is what I saw?
No, not twice a week. I really think
he's going to be involved.
Well, if Pete Kwiatkowski has any – part of that anatomy, then I'll say, just fire me, give me my money, and I'll go on. If I'm a self-respecting DC who had great credentials before he came to Texas, I don't stand by and let Gary run the defense. Do y'all?
This is what I'm getting at. This is my whole point that I'm getting at. This creates all this, you know, tension, if you will, on a team that's 5-7 that needs to be focused on one thing, and that's winning football games. Sure. Now, Chris Del Conte would tell you that having Gary Patterson's mind in the building is going to help them win football games. And I get that. I get that as a concept. I really, really do. Okay. But at the same time, to Kirk, to your point, if I'm PK, here's some notes that our special assistant came up with after watching the tape. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. No, you're going to implement the notes. You know, I mean, how do you take the input that comes from that and not feel sort of pressured to act on it?
You're marginalized. He's marginalized.
You know what? And he deserves to be marginalized. He deserves
to be fired.
Yeah, exactly. But he's got guaranteed money, so he's going to grin and bear it. And what's going to happen if I'm PK? Is I'm going to go, all right, this year might be the longest season of my career, because I'm going to be second guessed and questioned, because I've got a superior defensive mind in the same building. But what I would hold on to is Gary Patterson's not going to be here for the next 3 or 4 years. Patterson's going to be a head coach in 2 seasons. So get past this and maybe learn something from the little general while you're under his thumb, and apply it to the 2023 season once Texas presumably gets back on track. So I would treat this as a learning and a potential for some learning, even though I know PK is an accomplished defensive coach. We all agree he's not Gary Paps.
I can't wait to see, be at the press conference. We could ask Gary Patterson and PK how they're going to interact. Oh, wait. Sorry. Retract that. I know we don't get them. We don't get to talk to them. So
maybe special assistants might get a chance to get a little. Oh, yeah.
Gary was so friendly with the media in Fort Worth. He just loved the media. So,
but here's the thing though, guys. I mean, we know GP and we know what he's about. I mean, I just find it hard to believe that Gary is the type of guy at his age and his experience level to just sit back and be behind the scenes and you never hear from him. I just don't buy that.
Speak on that. That's my point.
Yeah.
Wallflower.
He's not a wallflower by any stretch of the imagination.
Assistant is a title, in title only. Gary Patterson is in here to fix this defense. Period.
That's like saying I'm going to come in and be quiet. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
It's like saying I'm going vegetarian.
That's not going to happen.
I don't think Sark hired him to be quiet. I think, but who knows? Maybe Del Conte pushed it on him a little bit. Maybe, we haven't talked to Sark since that glorious win over Kansas State. Back in December. I don't know. We haven't gotten – maybe CDC forced his hand. Who knows? But we were talking earlier, and you guys were saying maybe he's even the next head coach in waiting, a.k.a. Will Muschamp, which was a disaster. And for those of you who don't know, he was named head coach in waiting by Mack Brown. Will Muschamp, best D.C., one of the best in the business. Yeah, not so good as a head coach. That never worked, and Mac never wanted him to be the head coach in waiting. He wanted to keep him as DC. But this, you can see all kind of problems arising out of this. I can't just see this as a Sunday picnic, can y'all?
Sexy. It is sexy. It is.
It'd be sexier if we could talk to him.
It's got us talking about football. It's a potential huge upgrade, already an upgrade. From their coaching staff.
Definitely.
I don't care if it was a Sark move or a CDC move. It was a move.
Here's a great move. Here's my question.
It's going to help them.
Here's my question. Okay. If the defense turns it around.
They will.
Who gets the credit in 2022? PK or Gary Patterson?
The little general.
Okay. So if we've established that little general will get the credit. Who will get the blame if it doesn't go well?
Both will get the blame.
We know PK will get the blame.
But it's a
win-win.
I will
for Gary.
Yes, I will make fun of CDC and GP if it doesn't work. But it will work. It just will.
Will it?
Yes.
When the last time they had a great killer defense, Ed?
When's the last time Gary Patterson was an assistant coach at Texas? Right now. It's going to happen. It's going to work.
About the players.
About the players. And to quote new Oklahoma coach Brent Venables, who backtracked on it, but Duck, you know it because he said it to you. It's the greatest quote ever. Why don't you tell me what Brent Venables said to you?
I asked him about how Texas – doesn't seem very accountable. They are not accountable for poor performances after yet another loss to OU 5 in a row. And Brent Venable said, you get what you demand from the players. Treat them like men. We're all in agreement. Gary Patterson's a defensive wizard. He will help them. No question about it. I just think there could be problems, but is there any chance they have a great defense? Because they didn't have an all Big 12 first or second team player on the defense. Not one.
Who says they have to be great? Stop it.
You just said their defense.
Well, it's nice if they were at least average
to win in this conference. They don't have to be the 85 Bears. It's the Big 12.
They got to be better than 100th in the nation.
Well,
if you're, you know, if you're 75, you're going to win 8 games.
You need to be better than the 2015 Longhorns or the 2016 Longhorns. That's for sure.
That was the worst ever. Worst ever. Yeah. But if you're top 70 in the country in defense, you're going to win games here.
But not a championship. They want to win a championship.
Never go. It's going to be a long time before they win it. How many? Yeah. You're 72 years old. They've won
71. Stop it.
You're the ones in the river. You're 71 years old, and they've won. How many have they won in your lifetime? How many have they won in the modern era? One. So let's quit talking about championships.
I know.
Let's talk about getting to a great defense. Let's talk about getting to a good bowl game. Let's talk about winning more than 5 games.
Let's talk about beating Kansas.
Let's stop talking about that. Because it's not about championships here. This is not Tuscaloosa. It's not Clemson. It's not Columbus. It's not Baton Rouge. It's Austin.
All right. One more thing on GP. Do either of you think he could ultimately, if whatever happens, he could be the head coach of Texas, given his former TCU bosses sitting in the AD chair?
Yes.
Yes. Could it happen? Yes, it absolutely could.
Go ahead, Brian. Why?
Because, I mean, look. His former boss is now in the AD chair. If it goes sideways with Steve Sarkisian, and I mean, it has to really go sideways because of the money they've got tied up in Sark, right? It has to really go sideways. But if it did, right, this is a guy who probably wants to be a head coach again. He's not done. He's not ready to retire. And, oh, by the way, his best friend is now the athletic director at the biggest school in America, one of the biggest, most important schools in America. Oh, and by the way, did you know that this school is going into the biggest, most important football conference in America sometime in our lifetime, we hope. But still, they're going into the SEC, right? It's hard not to think that Sark is now has a giant rock hanging over his head, a boulder hanging over his head. That could fall on him if it doesn't go well.
I think it could happen, but the one thing that I will bring up is if it doesn't work out and Sark falls off and it's bad, then GP's going to play a role in that too, because he's going to be in that room and some of that stench is going to be on him.
Absolutely.
So do you give the job to a guy who's part of a staff that he couldn't help?
No.
I'm just a special assistant. You know, I don't make the game plans, and I'm not allowed on the sideline on game day. I'm just a special assistant. Did you see what I did at the Rose Bowl with the Purple People Eaters, you know, a few years ago?
Was that this century?
Did you see what I did at the Alamo Bowl that one year?
We're getting behind 31-0. I don't think it could ever happen because, as you just intimated, said, if things go south and Sark doesn't get this thing turned around, they're not going to go, hey, let's get one of these guys started on this staff, you know, because I'm the AD and I know him. I don't think fans or media would go for that. The other thing is that if he's doing well, it's like, well, you're not going to make a change unless Sark says, ooh, I'm going to the NFL. I'm a hot commodity now. I'm going to get an NFL job out of that. And then maybe there would be a chance that Gary should succeed him, but I think it's very unlikely.
Okay. Here's a question I've been thinking about, and I wanted to pose to both of you. Okay. All right. As we talk about coaching changes, and you think, oh, that sounds really disruptive and blah, blah, blah. Right. Okay. Now that the coaches are making, you know, they're not making completely NFL money, but they're getting way up there in money. Right.
Most of them, a lot of them are getting better.
Okay, and then you factor in that these players are willing to leave at a moment's notice, right? Do we see colleges taking an NFL approach to their head coaches? Meaning that, hey, we gave you 2 years, that dude in New York, you were running quarterback sneaks on your own three. Forget that. You're out of here, right? Matt Rule, you're on the hot seat. Cliff Kingsbury, you were on the hot seat until you made the playoffs, right? Just like the constant change. Are we going to see the constant change over at the college level that we see at the NFL level?
It could happen, but you're painting yourself into a corner because these guaranteed contracts aren't going away, BD. And so if you're signing a coach for 6 years and $60 million, You want to fire him after 2 years? I mean, you owe him $40 million, and then you got to bring in another guy? So it's going to be tough to do that. So I don't envision a scenario where a coach is not going to get at least 3 years to try and get it right. I mean, Charlie Strong had three losing seasons. He had to go. As much as we like Chuck, he had to go. Tom Herman never had a losing season, but Tom Herman had problems off the field, in the locker room. So I think they would kill to have have Sark reel off four straight winning seasons. So I just don't think they're going to be pulling the trigger as fast, even though the money is different with these players and name, image, and likeness.
And it's pretty rare that you promote a guy from a staff. I mean, you see a Dabo Swinney. He goes from wide receiver coach to the great head coach at Clemson and building a mini dynasty there. You see, you know, Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame get promoted from D.C. and succeeds Brian Kelly. Lincoln Riley, O.C. under Bob Stoops, and he gets elevated. So you see that sometimes. But I don't know. Mostly BD to me, it's like there's so much more job security in colleges now because of the guaranteed money and because they don't fire them right away like they do in the NFL. NFL, you got a year, maybe two at most. I mean, Matt Rhule just finished second year and he's barely hanging on. But a lot of these guys, you get 1 year and you may be out. So I think the college game has a lot more appeal than NFL coaching in terms of security.
Well, we're gonna be all over this thing, this Gary Patterson thing. It's not official, but he's wearing the logo. It's official. He's coming. Beanie, before we get you out of here, Club Irwin was rocking Tuesday night, and the fans were raucous. You had intense play. You had everything except the W. What's going on with the Fighting Chris Beards, who dropped their second in a row? This time to 1-4, K-State.
Ooh, yeah, when you say it like that, that doesn't sound good. That's for sure. You know, I think that what we're seeing in the first six games, and it was really highlighted last night, this team doesn't have a money time clutch player. Now you say, well, now wait a minute, BD. Marcus Carr had 25 points, and he just missed. He was unstoppable in the second half. And he missed the game-winning shot. Set aside the game-winning shot for just a second. In the last 5 minutes, they finished the game 0-for-4 shooting. Andrew Jones missed a tough shot. Ramey missed a terrible shot. When he tried to rise up through a double team. And so I'm not saying just because Marcus Carr took the last shot that he should be the guy, but they need to get help from other players at other big moments. Down the stretch, they're shooting about 30% in the last 5 minutes of six Big 12 games. That's not good. It's just not good. And, you know, you can talk about the defense all you want. And the defense had real problems last night. The way that K-State drove and kicked to the corners for either layups or open threes was very, very alarm bell concerning. But this team's got to start making big time plays in the clutch because, as said, you and I talked about this at the game. That's the Big 12. There's nobody who is like so good they're going to run away with it and win the title, but every single team can win or lose on any given night to every opponent in this conference.
I mean, they're 3-3 against teams that are a combined 10-18. They haven't played any of the top three teams yet. So that's six games with Kansas, Baylor, and Texas Tech. Still got to go to West Virginia. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying push the panic button, but do you think Brian had said that Chris is a little bit worried that this is kind of getting away from him that, you know, we're not talking about, you know, winning the conference championship. We're talking about making the tournament and, you know, not being a 8 or 9, 10 seed, something like that. Do you think the legitimate concerns are there?
You better be concerned because you haven't even played the big dogs yet.
Right.
And the big dogs are barking. And I tweeted this Tuesday night. There's not a bad game in the Big 12. All the games are always coming down to the wire. Yeah. And from top to bottom, it's a beehive. And when you don't have that special guy to score, you know, and Andrew Jones, looked like he found his groove three games ago, but then he struggled, and I don't see the cohesion that they need, that they should have, you know, 20 games in. I'm really worried about what's going on, not only on that court, but in that locker room. And I think Chris Beard, I don't think he's bitten off more than he could chew, but he's having a hard time digesting right now, because he had surely expected to be better than 3-3, six games in.
He was crushed last night. There's no doubt about it. He was crushed on Tuesday night. You could see it in his face. You could see it in his body language. And this was after they botched a winnable game in Ames. I know, look, I've had Iowa State people come out of the woodwork. You know, how could you say that? I mean, how can you say that? Iowa State, we kicked their butt. Yeah, Texas played terrible, but it was a two-possession game with 5 minutes to go. That's a winnable game. Right. It just is. And then when you look at what happened at Oklahoma State, it was a one possession game for a great majority of the second half. And Texas just couldn't get it done. Right. They just could not get it done. A 3-point deficit in Stillwater, it felt like 30. Right. That's how bad the offense was that day. So, look, Beard is right when he says, oh, we're close. Yeah, you're close to being average. Right. That's what it looks like to me. I mean, you know, they had to get some of these games because, to Sed's point, the schedule gets infinitely harder starting February 1 when they go to the Hub City.
Yeah, I wonder if Chris is a little, not panicky, but it's like stunned. Is he dumbfounded by he's sitting here? I mean, when you get – what was it, six transfers who were big-time players at their former schools, and you do have three holdovers from a team that was damn good in the regular season. Apologies to Abilene Christian. And then he's talking about playing on Monday, being a championship team. I mean, you look at Auburn. Auburn's got, I think it's five transfers, and they got four of them are their leading scorers. And you put that with Jabari Smith, who may be the first pick in the draft, and they're sitting there one or two with Gonzaga and are kind of a pick to win the national championship. But, you know, I mean, you're first in defense in the conference. You're eighth in offense, 8 out of 10 in offense. And even though you're first in defense in the conference and you're second nationally, the top eight teams in the league defensively, there's only 8 points difference in the defensive averages. So it's not like, you know, their defense is 30 points better than everybody else. So you think they're lacking for confidence, and maybe are they a little bit beaten down by Chris Beard with all the expectations and emphasis on defense?
I don't know if they're beaten down by him, but I know that he's an intense cat and he demands all out effort, and
right.
He's not a backslapper by any means. He's tough. They need that toughness. I think it just comes down to the fact that they just are – this is an offensive game, and that style of play doesn't always translate. They don't – I mean, is Jace Febres, is he ever going to show up and make a three? I mean, that's his job, and he's not making threes. And Andrew's up and down, and Courtney, which I really like the defense he's playing, but Courtney Ramey is – you know, he's hit or miss offensively. And they ruined a great performance by Marcus Carr. That's the kind of game that could really spur you to greater things if you figure out a way to win, even if it's against a team whose record is not good. So now going in, they play – is it Oklahoma State Saturday, BD, right. At home, 1 o'clock at Club Irwin? That's going to be a tough game, because we know that Oklahoma State's curating – is starting to rise. They may not have a great record, but they've beaten some good teams already.
Real quick, before I get out of here, I just want to say that I went to Des Moines. I went back to Jethro's Barbecue.
Oh, my God.
You are insane.
Yes. What is
amazing? I am not ever giving up on the Jethro's Barbecue. I got dragged on Twitter. I got dragged on Twitter all over Travis County, all over the internet, for posting a photo of the brisket during football season. I went back. I said, this is my place. I'm standing tall with my guy. I had ribs. They were fantastic. I will go back there again. And yes, suck on that, barbecue haters.
I don't even know you anymore, B.
Doug, they sprinkled cheddar cheese over the queso.
I got to go.
What is that?
I got to go. This is too much.
That was sickening.
Take that, barbecue haters.
And what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, futilely.
I bet BD's even bought Lincoln Riley's barbecue cookbook, I bet.
With some sausage. It's fantastic.
Okay. It's hard to mess up sausage. I can cook sausage. Stop it.
No, the sauce. The sauce on Lincoln Riley's brisket. I bet his brisket's fantastic.
Oh, I bet it's horrible. You never should have been allowed back in this state. Next thing you're going to be doing is you're going to be telling me that In-N-Out Burger is better than Whataburger.
No. The next podcast you have me on here, I'm going to tell you how great the Tex-Mex is in Nebraska.
Oh my God!
He needs to be. He needs to be in rehab, Sid. I don't know if he's maybe beyond hope.
He's beyond help. We appreciate it. Get a better taste palate. Get Debbie to take you to some real restaurants because I don't know who I'm looking at right now.
Me in 2026. Have you guys had the enchiladas in Oxford, Mississippi?
Oh my God. Catfish, yes. Enchiladas, no. Later, man.
Bye, boys.
We'll see you. Bye.
On Second Thought.
Look, always good to chop it up with BD. Man, our offseason just got a lot more interesting with spring football coming up. That'll be fun, but let's talk about the dumpster fire that was in Arlington, Texas. You were there. Doug, did they have you on the front row? Were you in the euchre seats or where were you?
No, I was in the elevated, the upper deck, third row.
Oh, wow.
So high up, I couldn't even see the jumbo vision that Brian Anger hit with his punt. So
that's always fun. That's for another conversation. The Cowboy Brian Anger hit the Jumbotron and the Cowboys hit the ground face first after losing to the 49ers. We talked about it last week, Duck. That was a tough matchup, and the Cowboys unfortunately were not there to
they kind of lived down to expectations. They were up against a physical run team and a great defense, albeit one that lost two of its stars. You know, I mean, Joey Bosa got hurt, and he missed how much? About a half?
Fred Warner got hurt.
And Fred Warner, their linebacker, got hurt. So
he came back.
And they still, you know, beat him. And that was just a terrible, terrible performance by the Cowboys. I mean, the highest scoring team in the NFL, end up with 17 points. Seven were a gift after that interception. That's the only way they could have got back in the game is – Jimmy Garoppolo throw up a duck, and that's what happened.
Dak Prescott, I'm sorry. I've been a proponent of Dak
for
years. I still believe he should have got his money. His numbers bear that out. But I'm going to look at it this way. Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy called that quarterback draw at the end of the game with 14 seconds left. One of the most idiotic calls in the history of playoff football. And I'm thinking Dak Prescott could have checked out of that call and said, no, I don't like this call. Peyton Manning would have checked out. Tom Brady would have checked out. But Dak Prescott runs up the middle, and they had the nerve to try to blame Ramon George, the umpire. Wasn't his fault that you don't know to give him the ball so he can spot it.
Not only that, said, but, I mean – then Dak Prescott doubles down and talking when he was asked about the fans throwing water bottles and debris at the refs. And he said, oh, then credit to them. And he since apologized. And here's a guy up for man of the year, Walter Payton, man of the year. You can't be encouraging that kind of, I don't know if you'd call it violence, but there's a potential for injury. We all know that. And it's just,
you're talking about 100,000 pissed off people.
It's inexcusable is what it was. And that's the thing. That's the thing. I think a lot of Cowboy fans and the media just gotten so weary of all these blaming the refs. You know, the most penalized team in the NFL had 14 penalties on a Sunday. I think like five of them or half of them killed drives or stopped first downs or something like that. And I think McCarthy's kind of encouraged that. So it's like, oh, they're biased against them. You played a horrible game. You coached a horrible game. You get CeeDee Lamb one catch the whole game. One of the most dynamic players in the league. Get him the ball. Find a way. If it's a jet sweep or whatever. I mean,
well, Troy Aikman said it. Troy goes, with the coverages that they have right now, he goes, Michael Irvin, if they were guarding Michael Irvin the way they were guarding CeeDee Lamb, he said Michael Irvin would have had 10 catches at halftime.
Wow.
He said that.
It was such a poor performance. It was like they were jittery. It's like they played without confidence. I mean, got down 10-0 before they even had a first down.
You know, and when I was watching and Tyler and when the Niners drove down and scored a touchdown on the very first drive, I looked at my sister and go, Dallas going to lose today.
You're in trouble. Because
this is what I was afraid of for them, that they were just going to run it down their throats and have Jimmy G game manage them to a win. And I don't blame Dan Quinn. You give up 23, you're supposed to win a playoff game. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. I like Dan Quinn. You and I basically – have told Jerry he should promote Dan Quinn, give him Mike McCarthy's head coaching whistle. And, you know, the other thing you do with that, here's a guy who's already interviewed for Minnesota in Denver, and he, who knows, God knows else he may interview for. I really like Dan Quinn. I was – when you and I were both at the Super Bowl when he blew that 28-3 lead, and that's going to be memorable, and that's going to leave a scar. But I was just really impressed with him. A real good player's coach, and I think he learned from that. I mean, we know how bad Cowboys defense was last year, didn't we? And he just turned that thing around. They led the league in takeaways. They led the league in with 26 interceptions. Why wouldn't you do that? Give a guy who's had head coaching experience the job. Keep Kellen Moore as your OC, and it's an upgrade. But it sure looks like Jerry's keeping him, doesn't it?
Especially with the just stupefying calls that Mike McCarthy has made all season long, from fake punts, from going for it on your own 25-yard line, just a mismanaging the clock time and time again, saying, "I didn't, the clock disappeared." I mean, those kind of things just treat to incompetence. And it's a guy who only – he had Aaron Rodgers for 13 years, one Super Bowl appearance with Aaron Rodgers. Who was until Mahomes came through was the best arm talent this league had ever seen. So I just think McCarthy is more name than game, and he's living on past accomplishments. And I think Jerry should just let him go, give Dan Quinn the job. He's already popular in that locker room.
Right.
I don't think Kellen Moore is ready to be a head coach either. I know there's this big movement to give these young hotshot play callers NFL jobs in their 30s. But Kellen Moore showed that he's not ready. That last play call was an abomination. He should not be allowed to interview for a job after that play call.
That should eliminate him right there. He's not ready. What is he, 33 years old? You know, he's not ready. I know Jerry's, you know, bit in the ass with Kellen Moore love, you know, and he doesn't want to give him up. But this would probably be a great way to keep him and, you know, hire Dan Quinn, promote him, and keep Kellen Moore. The other thing is Dallas has 22 unrestricted free agents. They're already over the salary cap. I mean, who do you keep? I mean, you got Randy Gregory, you got Dalton Schultz, you got Cedric Wilson, Michael Gallup, Landon Vander Esch. I mean, you got a slew of big time contributors. So I don't know what you do.
I get rid of Leighton Vander Esch.
He had a great game, but you think he's just not?
He's not. This league is about the linebackers who can chase.
Right.
He's not a chaser. I let him go. Gallup can't stay healthy. Zed Wilson will probably get more money somewhere else. But if you can keep Zed Wilson, I like him. If I can get him cheaper, then I'd get Gallup. The big question. Got to
keep Gregory, right?
What'd you say?
Got to keep Gregory, right?
He took a step forward, but that was an idiotic penalty at the end. What are you doing grabbing a guy, an offensive lineman, and suplexing him with the season on the line.
It was stupid.
It was just stupid. And now Neville Gallimore, that happens where right. you can get engaged with your hands. I see that. That is a lot more excusable than grabbing a guy from behind and taking him down. What were you doing there? It's like you were in a wrestling match. Yeah. So, but I would keep Randy Gregory. Durance Armstrong, if you can get him, the guy from Kansas, he had some moments this year. If you can get him on the cheap, I'd bring him back. But that's a lot of unrestricted free agents, Doug. So the defense is going to take on a different look next season, I suspect.
What do you think of their window? Do they have like a 5-year window, or with guys like Amari Cooper starting to get a little bit older? Obviously, Zeke Elliott is. The offensive line needs some help. Connor Williams may not be there next year.
Can't be. They got to upgrade there. Connor's just not the guy. Just completely overwhelmed at the edge guard. They
what do you see in their tackle. Window?
Make him a backup tackle.
Yeah.
He's not a starting guard in this league.
So what would you need? You need another cornerback? Would you go O-line? What do you think the top three rounds Cowboys should look for?
You're going to always need pass rushers, and you can't put it all on Micah Parsons. Always look for an edge rusher up front. I would also say you could upgrade at the other cornerback position, which brings me to Trayvon Diggs, though. He was out there trying to be Deion Sanders, undercutting routes and giving up big plays on the back end. He needs to remember, you know, I think he kind of fell in love with his stat line in the back half of the year and started trying to make highlight reel plays. Right. There were a couple of times when you let Brandon Ayuk just get behind him. And Brandon Ayuk is never going to be confused with an elite talent in this league. But I think he believes he's better than he is. And those interceptions are great, but he still gave up over 1,000 yards in coverage this year.
Yeah, and not the most physical tackler like Deion either, you know. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I mean, you got to start with the franchise quarterback. They got that. They got great receivers in Cooper and C.D. Lamb. Tony Pollard, you know, don't have to pay him as much. Zeke, I don't know how much Zeke's got left in the tank. I really – not sure about his work ethic, but like you say, O-line, linebacker, cornerback, I think that's probably the major areas of improvement they need.
The top is head coach. That's probably the most major.
Let's start there.
So, well now and Zeke is 26 years old, Doug.
Doesn't he seem older?
Well, he runs older for sure. He runs a lot older than he is. Before we get out of here, let's hit these playoff games this weekend. Okay. On Saturday, Cincinnati at Tennessee, San Francisco at Green Bay. Who you got?
Well, I got Green Bay winning it all, so I'm not going away with them. 49ers are on the road, third game in a row. Jimmy G, a little banged up with his shoulder, not great to start with. So I think San Francisco's little two-game run here, it comes to an end. I like Cincinnati. Boy, they got that young talent. I just think Tennessee at home, get Derrick Henry back, will be too much for the Bengals.
I agree on both. I got Green Bay. I don't want to see San Francisco in a championship game. I want Aaron Rodgers v. Tom Brady for the NFC championship. That's a win-win Super Bowl for the NFC. That's star power. So that's personally what I want. Yeah. I had Kansas City beating the
Bills,
beating Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl. So Sunday, Rams at Tampa, Buffalo at KC. What's up?
You know, I'm going to go with the Rams in the upset. Well, Stafford got off the schneid. He got his first playoff win, so they got some confidence. And Cooper Kupp, MVP candidate. How about that run game with Sony Michel and Cam Akers starting to step up a little bit? And obviously they got star power on defense, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey. And, you know, Tampa Bay is not full strength, anything but. You know, Fournette, I guess he's out.
He might practice. Right. He might be practicing this week. I haven't looked today. And Mike Evans is apparently over his injury. Chris Godwin is not playing. And, of course, Antonio Brown quit the team. So they're not exactly full-strength Tampa Bay.
No. I got the Rams in an upset in that one.
What about Buffalo at KC?
Well, Buffalo is kind of my surprise team. I got Green Bay beating Buffalo in the Super Bowl. I love Josh Allen. Just love him. He's got moxie and toughness and speed, you know, and talk about confidence. My goodness, scored on every drive against the Pats where they didn't take a knee. So I think it's going to be a great game. You know, Kansas City's kind of been mercurial a little bit this year. They've kind of got it back, but I don't know. There's got to be some upset. And here I am going with two upsets, the Rams. And the I guess you're sticking with the Chiefs, are you not?
I have to. I want to be right.
I know, exactly. I think it's going to be a great game.
I think so, too. I think if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, Duck, I will have gotten Georgia and Kansas City right.
There you go.
I'm hanging on to that. I loved what they did against Pittsburgh, but the Steelers are not the Steelers. They are what's left of the Steelers. So that was some old school Chiefs numbers, but I'd be shocked if they put up those numbers against the Bills. The Bills punked them in Kansas City earlier this year. I'm going with Kansas City to hold serve at home. I feel like the Rams have more and more momentum than Tampa Bay. And quiet has kept the Philadelphia Eagles sacked Tom Brady five times this past week. So we know the Rams can rush the passer. So yeah. I'm still going to keep my pick. I wouldn't be shocked if the Rams won, but I'm going to stick with Tampa Bay and Kansas City to win to keep my Super Bowl prediction alive. So
hey, let's just hope the games are better than they were last weekend.
Oh, they will be. This is always the best weekend. These four games are going to be good. Hey, are you going to be at the Oklahoma State Texas game, or is that going to be me? I know we haven't talked about that.
I don't know. Let's check that out and visit about that. So,
all right. Well, one of us will be there, and I know a lot of you listeners will be there as the Longhorns try to right the ship and avoid an 0-3. Big thanks to Brian Davis for joining us today. So good to be back on the old podcast, and we'll do it again next week. That will do it for episode 246 of On Second Thought. For the Duck, I'm Seth Golden. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Seth and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.